This podcast contains adult language and adult subject matter and is rated M for mature. Listener discretion is advised.
Let's just do it.
Oh, my cow, let's do it.
Hey, you know, Taven, the other day I was baking a cake and the instructions said to set the oven. I know. And the instructions said set the oven to 180 degrees. Okay. Of course, once I did that, I couldn't open the door.
That would stand to reason. Yes, yes.
Yeah.
That'd be troublesome. Yeah. Did you ever get the cake baked?
No, I never did get the cake baked.
Nope.
And then I was going to talk about walking past the autopsy club, but I see that you made notes that you told this on the September 14th recording, so I'm not going to say that joke now. So
all you first have to go back to the September 14th recording from this year, or whenever
that was. Yeah.
Whenever that was, and, so a month ago, whatever. Mm-hmm. And then you can hear the joke.
Yep. I hear the joke. So anyway. And then last Monday was National Pancake Day. I was going to get you something, but the day creeped up on me.
Oh, snap.
But seriously, somebody please turn the music up and shut me up.
Yes, I want to hear the music so bad. Just turn it up.
Well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good day, or good night. Hola, hello, and Mubark Fluff to all the creatures in the Potiverse. I am Barely Normal, and with me again, and for the first time today, is that denizen of delight, that purveyor of perfunctitude, the master of mayhem, Taben. How the fluff are you, Taben?
Well, I am...
Perfunctus?
Perfunctitudidish, yes.
You're perfunctidist.
I'm that one.
Yes.
Yeah. No. And besides that, I'm really good. It's been a nice day today. It was, you know, probably same with where you are. Like yesterday was raining pretty hard and stuff, but today's been pretty nice outside. We're in that time of year when you never know what's going to happen. We take the best of it. That doesn't make sense.
You take the good
somehow.
With the bad.
Bad.
Yeah.
You take the good, and there you have the facts of life.
It's of life. That's right. You thought the same thing I did when I said that. Yeah. You take the good, you take the bad, you take them both, and then you've got the facts of life.
Yeah.
The facts of life. Yeah.
Oh, time for Jesse for a walk, I tell you.
Mm-hmm.
And how are you, Mr. Barely? How's your week been?
It's been between getting ready for BLFC, getting ready for having this podcast, the Royal Highness podcast. And of course, this is my first love because this is the one we've been doing the longest.
Yes.
4 years. 4 years we've been doing this.
Oh, my
4 years.
God.
You know, every once in a while, I know every week for 4 years. That is 200
sometimes
weeks.
Twice a week, even because of guests.
Sometimes twice a week. I don't know. And then I add two others on there in between. So, you know, it's like, it's crazy.
As I think I've said multiple times before, I think there's a 13-step program for people like you, Barely, for first like you.
I think so. Yeah. I mean, you know, and you know as well as I do that sometimes I have to stop myself from doing more things. But then I go ahead and, you know, put myself on board members for conferences. You know, so it's like,
because why not? I mean, why?
But
I have a few seconds at 1:30 a.m. on Tuesdays. You know, I can do more.
I could fit that in. Yeah.
Can fit that No problem.
Yeah. And so the BLFC is, we have our meet and greet, and then we have the puppy meet and greet, and then we got roped into – well, not roped in. We said yes, helping with the Pup 101 panel.
Oh, you did? Okay,
so,
cool.
Yeah. So, so we're going to help with the Pup 101 panel and the mosh, so that should be fun.
Good.
And we've got a lot of first-time pups, first-time con-goers, so I'm really excited for first-time – congoers, because they're always so much fun to watch them just go,
what's going even on? I don't even know what's happening. Yes, exactly.
Right. Yeah. Yep,
and you'll be right there. So speaking of course, I have to say, speaking of cons, I have to do the plug for Get Out the Float. For any of you furs that don't know, Get Out the Float is this wonderful, fun, but small con in Seaside, Oregon. It'll be February 2 through 4 next year, 2024. And I'll be there. Barely will be there. Rain Raccoon will be there. Rain's heading up the DJs. Barely's heading up the programming. I'm just I'm me, whatever that means, I guess.
You're the master of ceremonies and the guest of honor, are you not?
Am I a guest of honor? I guess I'm a guest of honor. I'm doing things anyway.
You're the master of ceremonies, so.
Anyway, so is it, in my case, is it master of ceremonies or master of puppymonies or something like that? I don't know if that even makes sense.
Or pup of ceremonies?
Puppo ceremonies?
The MP. Puppo ceremonies. Puppo, the pup of ceremonies.
The PC. Oh, I'm PC. Just, apparently I'm PC now.
Just don't be pup. I was going to try and make a joke, but I couldn't get it out fast enough. Anyway, so.
Anyway, are you first? If you're really interested, we'll be there. It's a lot of fun. We went last year. It was good times. We're also, of course, looking for, and I say we, because, I mean, we're not the chairman or anything, but we're
the board.
The board, I is. So
board.
We are looking for, you know, more volunteers, more for us to run panels and everything. And there's lots of perks, the normal perks and everything, but special about Get Out the Float is you also get like a bowl of ramen. For volunteering.
Is that a real thing?
That's a real thing. BAF is really
I thought
doing
you made that.
That
up. I thought nope. You made that up. It's like,
nope.
Okay.
BAF's,
it's a real thing.
BAF said, okay. Go ahead and mention this on the show. So, okay, it's a real thing. See, it's like, what? So it's,
a
cons
bowl
don't
of
do
ramen.
This. You don't get a bowl of ramen for volunteering, but here it is. But point, you also get,
weird.
Depending on your level of sponsorship, you also get either $80 or $160 off your registration. So it's pretty great. It'll be a lot of fun. So all you first is, and if nothing else, just go to the con. You can register and sign up for panels and all that stuff at getoutthefloat.com. We hope to see you there.
Absolutely.
So on top of that, I also have to tell you that I found out that the inventor of student fees was Sir Charge.
You're going to come up with a whole bunch of those now, aren't you?
I'm working on it. Okay.
So we got Circumference, Sir Charge, and what was the one you had last week? Sir... You made it up.
Oh, Ceramic, the inventor of pottery.
That's the inventor of pottery, Ceramic, the knight in charge of pottery. Yes, Ceramic.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else before we get to the past today?
No, I'm going to be done with that. How's that? We get on to stuff.
Okay. So the past today, last week we talked about the play Our American Cousin, which was the play that was being produced on the stage when Lincoln was assassinated. And
that's right.
I pondered if it had ever been produced since Lincoln's assassination. Well, yes, it has been. In fact, it was even made into
a... because it has been.
Right. It was even made into a television miniseries in the early 2000s. So it was something like that. And lots of the historical documents, if you will, say that this was the first playing of the play, but it really wasn't. It was actually had been produced for 6 years prior to it coming to the Forge Theater. And in fact, Lincoln had seen it before.
Oh,
and
really?
And he didn't like it, but his wife, Mary Todd, was like, we need to go to this play. And he's like, I really don't want to go. And so had he stayed home, he would not have gotten deaded.
So it's his,
you know?
his wife's fault, basically.
It's his wife's fault that he got unalived.
Oh, the truth comes out. The truth comes out.
Uh-huh.
Who was it that, because you mentioned he didn't like it, and there was it Laurel and Hardy or Abbott and Costello, maybe, that we talked about this on the show before, that they did their very early stuff they just didn't like and didn't want it produced or something, but then the filmmakers said, no, we have to produce this. And so they showed it and it became wildly successful. Who was that?
I think it was Abbott and Costello. I think some of their vaudeville stuff. I know a lot of the Marx Brothers stuff
what I'm thinking of. Yeah.
I know a lot of the Marx Brothers stuff. They said they didn't feel it would convert to the big screen, quote unquote, the silver screen. But in fact, it did convert quite well to the silver screen.
As we know now. Yes, it did.
Well, you have to understand that, you know, those were vaudeville actors, and vaudeville acting is totally different than screen acting. And that transition, you know, to make that transition from performing on a live stage and interacting with your coworkers to
that's true.
a movie where it's like you say a line and then you cut and then you say another line and then you cut and then you reset this and you reset that. But I'm sure the early days of movie making was just kind of, they probably just filmed it in a straight line as opposed to different shots. Like when we were doing your shot.
They were still learning back then. But this goes to show to all you furs, you just never know. Just get, if you're not sure if you can do something, if you're scared of doing it, just try it. Cause you never know. You might like the results. You might, if you hate the results, well, now you know something that you don't like to do, but just try it. Find out more about
it. Kind of like we tried this podcast. We didn't like it, but we kept on doing it for some reason. I don't know why. It's like,
and we still don't know what we think about it, but here we are 4 years later.
Or why we keep doing it. Yeah.
Why do we keep doing this? I don't know. Because we're crazy.
So I have a question for you. It's a mathy question.
Do? Oh, yes. I like mathy questions.
So can you bisect a 7-point star?
I think so. Yeah. I mean, if we're thinking, and by the way, a 7-point is scar, just. Scar, just like a 5-pointed scar, star, scar. Why am I with scar? A 5-pointed star, you know, is called a pentagram. A 7-pointed star is called a heptagram or septagram. Yeah, you can bisect it just like you could a 5-pointed. You could just, you know, cut it straight down from tip to the intersecting point thingies.
Okay.
If that makes any sense.
It does. And then what's the difference between bisecting and bifurcating?
So bisecting, of course, is when it's you cut it in half. Now bifurcating in math, actually, there's something called bifurcation theory, which is the mathematical study of changes in the structure in a family of curves. So that is, if you have an equation that describes a curve, now that equation could have like a little parameter in it that you can change. And when you change that little bit, it changes the curve. It looks the same, but it might change a little bit. And what there's actually a branch of math that's interested in studying, well, if I change this little parameter thing by this much, how does it change my overall curves and everything? And you can actually get pretty pictures from this. Long story short, I don't know what it would mean to be bifurcated in that respect, but bifurcation, that's what that is.
A bifur is a furry that's both a dog and that would be a bifur.
Exactly.
They would be bifurcated.
There's a lot of bifurcated furs out there, definitely. And you know, I think bifurcated, that like the English word means like to branch or fork. So I guess if you're a bifur, that means that you like both dog food and cat food at the same time. Like you mix it together in your salad.
Mix it together. It's kind of like the
you eat it with the fork.
Kind of like when you take all the last little bits of cereal from all the boxes and pour them in the bowl
and
together. Yeah, because it's like we get a little bit of Cocoa Puffs, a little bit of Trix, a little bit of Captain Crunch, yeah. Lucky Charms. Yeah, it's like why do we have 18 boxes with half an ounce of cereal in each box?
I can have a whole dinner right here.
That's
right there.
Yeah, there you go. It's right there. All right. Well, thank you for answering my question.
You are. I'm glad I could actually do that. I'm proud of myself.
Yes, and.
Oh my! And I know what you're doing. I have a thing because you see it in the notes.
I do.
So
yes.
Are you first? Barely was sitting there, like looking at me, like.
I know the cue card guy is holding him up.
There's
going,
a cue card.
Come on. Yeah, it's like come on. Because
I have a thing in the notes, and so I'm going to do. So I want to do one of my 5 quick puns that I do.
Alrighty. Do you have a theme song for that yet? Oh, you haven't made up music yet for it. Okay.
Boo, 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 boo. That's a horrible song, but we'll start with that as the first song. There's my big fun song. Oh, so all you furs, your assignment now is to write us in the chat or website, whatever, and let us know about what you think about this new song to 5 quick puns I just made up.
There you go.
Okay, so. Here you go. Are you ready, Mr. Barely, and all you furs for 5 quick puns?
Get on with it.
Yes, get on with it.
Well, so a Spanish magician tells the audience that he will disappear on the count of 3. He says uno, dos, and then poof, he disappears without a trace. My friend's wife gave birth in their car on their way to the hospital. They named him Carson. A short mother is called a mini-mum. I opened my birthday card and loads of rice fell out. I knew right away who sent it. It was from my Uncle Ben. I spent my entire life savings on pasta. I'm not sure why, but it was worth every penny.
Well, those were food jokes.
There's a theme there, apparently.
There's a theme there, yeah. I thought you were going to tell the joke about the magician that said, I'll disappear and reappear. And, you know, he, 1, 2, 3, he disappeared. But unfortunately, he knocked his head on the trapdoor. And so he went into a coma. And then he woke up 6 months later and went, ta-da!
Oh, no. He didn't know. He didn't.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cute. That's actually cute. I like it.
That's cute. All right. So I picked out 4 obscure words from my dictionary of obscure words today. And
we're going to get more CEUs?
Yes. And one of them actually is not obscure now, but the definition for it is obscure because in olden days, the term is nail. Now, a nail, as we know, you go get a nail, you pound it together, you pull two pieces of wood together. Right? Yeah. Well, in olden days, a nail was a unit of measurement that was about 2 1/4 inches long.
Really?
Okay. So if you wanted, you know, something that was 2 nails, that means it was 5 1/2 inches long.
5 inches long.
Or 4 1/2 inches long. Yeah. So
whatever that is. And so, like, do you know, and I don't know this, do you know, so today are like, is the standard nail, no, it's not 2 1/2 inches long.
No, that nails are all right. Different lengths, yeah.
They are all different lengths. It's not like, okay. Yep. Well, I was wondering if there's a connection between our nail now and that one.
Probably nope.
Not, okay. I'm nope. Working too hard at this.
You're working too hard at this, yeah. I mean, I didn't know that, but then. And here's another word for your hubby. You can go and ask him about if he knows what this is, since he's a horticologist or a hortic. What is that? Somebody that does.
Horticulturalist. I think what he said is right.
Horticologist? Horticologist?
I think that's right.
Somebody that practices horticulture would be a horticologist, I guess. I don't know. That's not what I was going to ask you. So the term is the term is vociferous.
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 I do not know what this means.
That is a berry-bearing shrub or plant.
Well, so, specific type of plant.
Specific type of plant-y, yes.
Okay,
the next word is a kobached.
Kobached.
A kobached is a heraldic animal shown in full face with no neck or body. So on your heralds, olden times, your family crest might have a kobached on it instead of a full animal. So like, you know, like the Queen of England is the lion and it's the full body of the lion.
Oh,
so that would not be a kobached. My family crest from Ireland has a chicken head on it.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
I know, right?
What's that about?
Yeah. And the tartan is like yellow and blue, and it's just ugly as, ugh.
Oh, better than a turkey, though. So
I know, but why does my family's crest have a chicken head?
Know.
I mean, that's just like, we must have been chicken farmers, I guess. I don't know.
I guess.
And then my final word is yonderly.
Yonderly. So
yonderly.
I would guess because go yonder. So I would guess it has something to do with being of the essence of being over there or something.
Sort of, kind of, yeah. Like it's emotionally, or mentally distant or absent-minded could be yonderly.
So
yeah. So if you go to college and you have an absent-minded professor, you could say that professor is very yonderly.
You don't hear people say that very often, but you could. I mean, that would be a correct statement.
You don't hear that very often, and you could say it, and other people would look at you and thinking maybe you are suffering a stroke because you're using words that nobody knows.
It's like, I mean, it's along the lines of time for Jesse for a walk. It's like, are you having
time
a stroke
for Jesse
there,
for a
Caden?
Walk? Yes.
No, yonderly.
Yonderly.
Oh, yonderly.
Go yonderly. Oh, right. That takes us up. Go yonder, Lee. That takes us up to our media section. This is probably going to be a short episode. Well, it might not be. Right. Anyway, So I finished Obi-Wan again. It's still a good series.
Okay.
It's only 5 episodes long, though. Why are you laughing?
I don't remember. You said okay. Something, and I don't know. I don't know.
Okay. So I started watching Ahsoka, which is a Star Wars theme. Rain talked about Ahsoka last week.
Yeah, and, that's right.
And my hubby texted me the other day, and he says, have you started watching Ahsoka? And I said, yes. And he says, so one of the bad guys has got some serious, serious, sexy daddy vibes going on. And okay. And I said, oh, I know exactly which character you're talking about.
Okay, so apparently, yeah. I think there's probably a lot of sexy furs daddy out there that would like this show then.
I'm pretty sure, yeah. I haven't Googled it to see if there's, you know, memes yet out there, but I'm sure there probably are by this time.
Probably.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I got a new Bluetooth speaker today from, I got another package from Temu, the stuff that I ordered.
What? Okay. So you actually knew it? What it was. Oh, because
I actually
Bluetooth.
Knew what I was getting. Yeah. It's a Bluetooth. Yes. But.
And you didn't paint
so it. So I didn't paint. It's black. It's a black Bluetooth. Okay. It's a black and Bluetooth. Okay.
it fell down.
When I turned it on to test it to see if it would connect, I played a Ski Whiff tune just to hear it.
Ski Whiff.
To see how it sounded,
that's
what the bass
really
sounded
cute
like.
Word.
Ski
what
Whiff.
Is that?
Ski Whiff is a group that I've played music on. You've played it. We've played it on trips.
Oh,
we've played
okay.
the band.
Sorry,
we've played the group on trips. Yeah.
Okay.
And so when the song stopped, apparently Apple Music thought it would play more music similar to them. And they played a group called Cormac.
Okay.
And I was like, well, this is kind of cool. I thought it was another Ski Whiff song, but then it was like Cormac. I was like, who the heck's Cormac?
That's not
well, I've been listening to all their albums today now.
So Apple did a good job with that, huh?
Apple did a great job of that. Yeah. So Ski Whiff and Cormac. Yeah, listen, yeah. Time for Jesse for a walk. Time. How about you? What have you been meeting? That's a new word. Meeting.
Not as meeting. It's akin to potating, but it's completely
potating.
Different.
Yes.
It turns out. Yep. Yep.
It is
so I
different.
Haven't been as exciting as you. I've been watching South Park for Lunchy, still watching Modern Family. Yeah, it's such a good show. We're still in rewatching, but still in season one. Such a good show. I'm remembering things from the first time I watched it, of course, but it's such a good show. Anyway,
it is. And I've been playing. Is. It's kind of fun to watch it from the beginning like that because you watch the kids grow up during the show, which is kind of cool. You know, because, you know, that very first season, Luke is, what, 10, 11 years old?
10, I think, like, 10, 11, yeah.
Yeah,
I was
and by the end of
the series,
the he was,
thing.
Like, 19, yeah.
Yeah.
So.
And you know, I mean, just on that note, exactly, every time I watch that, I see Luke, and he's, like, tiny and everything, and then, but I, like, after the show, I start thinking and trying to remember what he looks like older and just that, you can't help but do that. And that's kind of fun to do. Yeah, mm-hmm, exactly. Mm-hmm. So that's fun. I've been playing Bloons, Monkeys Go Pop still. They came out, so for all you friends that didn't know that play Bloons, well, I'm sure if you play Bloons, you know that they came out with an update that has a whole new map. And it has a map editor. Oh my cow, this is like very exciting in the Bloons universe.
You can make your own. And I've also paths then you can edit
you
the map.
You can, yeah.
Wow, it's, that's cool.
It is really cool, and a lot of people that are playing Bloons are really excited about it. You can go out and see all the maps people are making. You can also do I guess I haven't tried it yet, the map maker, but apparently you can make a like a 3D version too, so it's not like just a 2D watching the Bloons go around and stuff, but you can make it 3D and look at it from like mm-hmm. a not quite a first-person vantage point, but and it's really cool. There's a meme out there that I saw yesterday, the day before that, because this is Bloons 6, right? So there's like lots of Bloons before it, and mm-hmm. it's like the Bloons player says, hey, Ninja Kiwi, which is the maker of Bloons, Ninja uh-huh. Kiwi, could you recreate this map from Bloons 4 or something? That might have been a popular map. And so Ninja Kiwi says, oh, well, we don't have time. We'll just make a map editor so that you can do it. So.
There you go. Make it yourself. Do it yourself, damn it.
But do it yourself. So that's very exciting. I think I'll probably try that out actually tonight. And then I've been playing Beat Saber, of course. Beat Saber's so cool. So much fun. Been having lots of fun with Crab Rave and everything. Talked about that last week a little bit. Anyway, that's my media-ing. Not potating, but media-ing for the week.
Okay.
What was that?
I don't know.
I think I just had a stroke or something.
Did you just sit on your tail? Is that what that was? Ow.
I think that's what happened. No, I'm sorry. Don't write another letter to me. I know. Okay.
Okay.
We're okay now.
All right. Well, let's play a little This or That.
This or That.
And you get to make all the choices since Rain isn't here this week.
Oh, Rain. Thank you, Rain, because I get to do all the choices.
Okay, so there's a few strange ones here, so let's start. Would you rather be a pig or a boar? Isn't that the same thing?
I think it is the same. I wouldn't want to be a
wild
boar because
and
then
domesticated.
I wouldn't want to be a boar because then I wouldn't entertain any fur, and you know me, I want to entertain furs. So I won't be a boar, I'll be a pig.
Okay, a pig it is. Then would you rather be a horse or a mule?
I see a theme.
Well, yeah, the first...
I think I'll be a horsey because they're majestic and they're beautiful animals, and I'd rather be a beautiful animal than not, so I'll be a horsey.
What kind of horsey?
Not Dalmatian. That's not a horsey. That's not what I'm thinking.
That's not a horse. No, what? That's not a horse.
Not a horse.
That's not a horse. A Dalmatian is not a horse. No.
It's not a horse, it turns out. Unless it's really big, then it's a horsey doggy or something. I don't know.
Yes.
So what are those kinds? List off some types of... I have one in mind, but I can't think of the name. List off some types of horsies.
Well, there's a Pinto. There is a Clydesdale. There are draft horses. I would be a Clydesdale because they're huge and pretty and have fuzzy feet. I love their fuzzy feet.
Oh, those kind. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I would want to be...
The Clydesdales are the Budweiser horses.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. That you see. Yeah. I wouldn't want to be a draft horsey because then, you know, I wouldn't be completed. I'd just be either that or it'd be windy all the time because there'd always be a draft.
Yeah, or you'd have to dodge it. You'd have to dodge the draft.
You really want to do that, and I don't want to be doing that all my life. So there's a kind. What is the kind that's, it's like really beautiful? Is it black?
Well, there's Palominos, there's Pintos, there's quarter horses, there's Mustangs.
Mustang I'm thinking about.
Might be a Mustang that you're thinking about, yeah.
So we'll go Mustang. How's that?
Okay, that wasn't part of the
question.
Because
that's what I must do. I must tang.
You must tang. Yes.
Do that. How for you? Okay. Do that.
Would you? Okay. Be only able to use a blowtorch or a lighter.
For is there a purpose involved, or just like just generally
just
speaking?
Blowtorch or a lighter? Yeah.
How about a blowtorch?
Okay.
To go along with my masculine horsiness, I guess.
There you go. Okay. Pancakes or waffles?
I'm going to go pancakes, actually. I mean, waffles are fun to fill up the little hole thingies and stuff, but I don't know. There's going to be some really fun, fluffy pancakes out there, so I'll go pancakes. Mm-hmm. How about you, pancakes or waffles?
Well, I prefer a good waffle because I make my waffles from scratch and I add all sorts of tasty, wonderful things into it. Before I cook it. So I will put like maple syrup in the batter.
Oh, that's fun. That's a fun idea.
So it's very tasty. Very tasty.
Oh, do you do blueberries and stuff too, or fruit, or is it just like maple syrup and
just maple
or
syrup or fruit syrup? Maybe a little whipped cream, but that's about it. I'm not a big fruit on my pancakes or waffles guy. I just don't stuff.
I usually don't either.
If I have someplace that serves that like that, I'll set the fruit off to the side and eat it later. I don't like to eat it with the pancakes.
Yeah. I'd probably do the same thing where I would just put the fruit in a separate puppy dish and have that puppy dish later. Yeah.
Yes. Okay, and finally, only eat meat or only eat vegetables?
Oh, meat. Oh, my cow. Only meat.
Well, yes, as a canine, you'd have to only eat meat. Canines don't eat vegetables.
And this pup, I mean, every now and then I carrot all to eat a carrot. But gotta be meat. Because I would not. If I had to go without chicken, this pup would, I don't know, die or something. I don't know where I'm going with this, but I would. So God do the chicken.
Okay. Well, you know, maybe next time we do our video shoot and when we do a cooking with Tabin, you can teach everybody how to cook a chicken.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
So all you furs, sometime in the future, be watching for Cooking with Tabin when I will teach you how to cook a chicken. Which means
in
I have to learn.
In typical Tabin fashion.
In typical Tabin fashion, yes.
Typical Tabin fashion.
So if all you furs haven't seen my Cooking with Tabin videos yet, go to my YouTube and see some Cooking with Tabin, and you'll see what Barely means by typical Tabin fashion.
Yes. Okay. That takes us up to Furries in the News.
Furries are in dum dum dum. They are in dum dum ba doo ba doo boop boop boop. They are in the place we call the news. They are in. I said they're in. I said they are in the news. Bark bark.
Bark, 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 bark. All right, we have
time
three stories.
Time for Jesse for a walk.
Right. We have three stories for furries in the news, oddly enough. I mean, there's
We had actual stuff this week. Woo!
I know. It's the last several weeks. We haven't had anything. So the first story comes to us from Queerty Online Magazine. And it's normally when I see these, it says, you know, a guide to furries and the furry fandom. And it's always usually the same stuff. And there's a lot of same stuff in here, but I thought this article was really good. They were very concise about it. And one of the things they said in the article is, what is a furry? A furry could be anyone interested in anthropomorphic animal characters, which, by the way, when I first started in the fandom, I had a hard time saying anthropomorphic. But I can say that now, just like that.
You can say it now. Just like that.
Yes. It says it makes room for all ages, but more than 75% of the furries reported being 25 years of age or younger. So,
yes.
They also pointed out that most people would be surprised to know that they were a furry at one point or another during their life. Anyone who has ever celebrated Pokemon, Sonic the Hedgehog, or cartoons featuring animals exhibiting human intelligence and facial expressions, like Bugs Bunny, Daffy Duck, Woody Woodpecker, Mickey Mouse. Yeah, you said Mickey Mouse at the same time as I did. And we didn't even practice that.
We are of like mind. And of course, we can't forget about Pokey Pie, the inchworm. I mean, every fur likes Pokey Pie, the inchworm.
Let's not forget. Adult furries take their passion to more visually unique levels at cosplays and community organized events where they have regional conferences and international conferences. Gay furries are the most visible face of the fandom, and with good reason. The queer identity is often caged by patriarchal values, and many LGBTQ plus folks find freedom from gender or sexuality through this fantasy. Just as gamers, drag queens, or Trekkies feel more aligned with queerness through the realm of their passion, many furries identify with the joy of using the fandom to escape heteronormativity, another big word. But let's be clear, escaping is not the same as having a blurred view on reality.
True.
Countless bullied teens and young adults found their first sense of acceptance or friendship within the fandoms. And that's true. I've talked to a lot of furs and pups that, you know, this is the only place they can find acceptance is in the furry or the puppy community. And it's very cool. It's very cool.
It is. I agree with you. It's very cool. I mean, as all you furs out there, I'm sure know the furry fandom. Like we're all creative and all that stuff, but we're also like so accepting and so like we always say we're a big family. And I think this article is really highlighting the reasons why. It's like, well, we all have something very common in our past, in our history, in our lives that are common to all of us. And so we can all connect in that. And it's just so beautiful and wonderful. And it's so wonderful that we found the furry fandom. I wouldn't give it up for anything.
I like the closing article of the articles. The closing paragraph of the article says, "What unites most furries is the creation of a fursona or a furry persona, which they then use to present themselves in online chat rooms and as the inspiration for the characters they take on during gatherings. Consider it like your avatar. The creature can be as magical or as ordinary as you please." And then their final line was, "The furry fandom always has room for one more." And that's true.
Very nice. Very nice.
We will never exclude somebody. Yep.
So we'll put this. So what's the title of the article again?
The title
Online Magazine.
It's QWERTY Online Magazine, and it's a guide to furries and the furry fandom, the celebration of anthropomorphized animals.
I wonder if they author or authors of this article talk to or have any ties to fur science, because there's a lot of like fur science-y things in there.
Oh, I'm sure. Fur science seems to be the go-to when you're researching out furries. All the articles I've ever read always say that they talk to fur science groupies of peoples. Yes.
Yeah, like why do this big, huge research and everything on your own when fur science has already done it? So.
It's got it all. Yeah, yep, yep, yep. Okay, our second story comes from it's about a game. And it's Cyberpunk 2077.
Yes,
I'm not sure if you've played Cyberpunk. Okay. Well, they have a new mod that brings the in-universe exotics to CD Projekt Red's Night City, letting you turn yourself into a furry. And it is technically canon for the thing. And you see on our script page here, there's screenshots of the various Cyberpunk things.
Yes, very nice.
They have something called exotics.
So you first, there's a foxy with a green mohawk there. Ooh, some very nice kitties and cougars and everything. Yeah, this is very exciting.
Yep. They're exotic jaguars, snow leopards, black leopards, cougars, tigers, foxes, wolves, and fennecs. So you can be any of that.
This is cool.
Cobalt Owl 1 theorizes that since the incredibly expensive in-universe fur transplanting procedure has been around for decades, by 2077, it's gotten a lot cheaper. So there you go.
There you go.
If you're a fan of playing as a Khajiit in Skyrim or like venturing out into Forgotten Realms as a Dragonborn in Baldur's Gate 3, this is the mod for you. So there you go.
Yes, this is actually very exciting. I know of Cyberpunk the game and I've seen some things, but I don't have it. But because of this mod, I might actually buy it now. So all
you
furs, let's go out and do a big, huge group purchase of Cyberpunk just so that we can get this mod.
And very then cool. You cool. have a story that you want to talk about.
I do.
Mm-hmm. Let us hear it from your muzz.
From my muzz, straight from the muzz. Ash Coyote, I'm sure all you fur knows Ash Coyote, has done wonderful films, filmmaker, wonderful films such as The Fandom, Hero, very emotional, very great stories and everything. And if you don't know, Ash Coyote's YouTube is just at Ash Coyote. They have a website, ashcoyote.com. Ash has a new series called Beyond the Fandom. So you might think of this as The Fandom 2, but it's really called Beyond the Fandom. And it's a series of episodes it's an ongoing series, which has come out recently. So the first episode was released September 1st, 2023. So that was a little more than a month ago at the time of this recording. And where they, and this is from the YouTube's description, where they dive into the mesmerizing world of Magic Records, which is a pioneering BIPOC, that's Black Indigenous People of Color, furry music label that's redefining the industry's landscape. And so that episode is out right now. You know, it's a nice long 40-minute episode. All you furs can check it out. And as I said, this is a series of episodes of the Beyond the Fandom, where Ash is trying to dive in the other niches that are of furry. And episode two trailer was released 3 days ago at the time of this recording, where they focus on inflatables and pool toys. So this is another niche of the fandom that a lot of furs, some furs are into, a lot of furs don't know about. Maybe they know about it, don't know much about. So Ash has created the whole episode two, a nice big 40-minute thing about inflatables. Now, this was the episode, so Barely, I, and Rain were at Get Out the Float at Seaside that I talked about last year, and Ash Coyote was there doing some filming, and this is the episode where there's footage of Get Out the Float, and a lot of these things is taking place at Get Out the Float. So because of that, Baff Media, who is the chair of Get Out the Float, is interviewed, and in the trailer you see some of interview footage, and Quiet Fire, who is also part of the Get Out the Float staff. And in this trailer, you even see a few shots of me in there. There's a little shot of friend of the pod TikTok. So it's very cool. The whole full episode will be released on October 21st, which is today, the day of this recording. Or not the day of this recording, but the day that this episode drops. Yes. Mm-hmm. So all you first go check that out. Very exciting. Very cool. So as I mentioned, you can see the episodes and the trailers on Ash's YouTube, which is Ash Coyote. And I've been actually talking over the last few days to Ash. I'm hoping to convince Ash to come on the show and talk about it. And we can talk to them, and that'd be very, very cool. There's that. Hope you first check it out. Hope to get Ash on the show, and you can hear us talk to Ash about all the things that are yote and filmmaking.
And there you go. And there that is the conclusion of Furries in the News.
We had a lot this week. Isn't that amazing? That was awesome.
We did.
Yeah, that was very cool.
I know.
And they were all like very cool things, I think.
Yes. Okay. So let's make a quick run through the upcoming events for the next month and a half. So
there's so much. There. Look at all that. Oh, my cow.
I know. So coming up or happening this weekend when this episode drops is Confer 2023 in Guadalajara, Mexico, and also Fur 2023 in Lutz, Poland. Next weekend, October 26th through the 29th, is Furpocalypse in Stamford, Connecticut at the Armand Hotel and Conference Center. Also that same weekend, the 27th through the 29th of October in the Chula Vista Resort in Wisconsin Dells Water Park is Aquatifer, which is by the name you know is an aquatic type furry con.
And I don't know if they should call it is Aquatifer, but I should wonder if it should be subtitled like cheese fur or something like that. I don't know.
Wet furries. Yeah, it's like cheesy fur.
Wet furry cheese fur. Because it's in Wisconsin.
A wet furry cheese con. There you go. Yeah. It's nice. The week of October.
What is that? WFFC. Yeah, that's right. Okay. Wet Furry Fur Con. Or no. Wet Furry Cheese Con. WFCC. Okay. There we got it.
WFCC. The Wet Furry Cheese Con. There you go. Aquatic Fur People, change your name. Okay.
So, you heard it here first. You got to change your name.
There you go. The week of October 30th through November 2nd is the Biggles Little Fur Con, which we talked about already. I'll be there doing puppy stuff. The weekend
Which, of course, means in several weeks, all you furs, come check it out, because I'm sure Barely will tell us all about his experience and how BLFC went for this year.
Yes, indeed. Okay, November 1st through the 5th at the Tremblay en France in France at the Paris Charles
avec de Gaulle. Le fromage et la vache qui aime manger la bibliothèque. And for all you furs that don't know French, if I remember what I said was Something about the French cow who likes to eat the library.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
So there you go. There you go. And I think there was cheese in there somewhere. I don't know.
Somewhere like that. So that's going to be the Furry Blacklight 2023, November 1st through the 5th. November 3rd.
Which we definitely should blacklight me speaking French. How's that?
Yes. Yes. It's blacklist you speaking French.
Blacklist me, November, yes.
November 3rd through the 5th is Paw Con 2023 in San Jose, California. Halloween is taking place November 10th through the 12th, which is after Halloween, in British Columbia, Canada. Then at the YMCA Camp Campbell Guard in Hamilton, Ohio, November 10th through the 12th is World Wild Fur Camp 2023.
That's hard to say.
And
World
I apologize.
World Wild Fur Camp.
World Wild Fur Camp. I apologize to all our listeners for the train in the background if you can hear it, because we're staying on the rails. And then November 30th through December 3rd.
For once?
For once. We're staying on the rails. It's you can tell by the horn sounding in the distance. It's very yonderly. Ooh. It's very distant.
It's very yonderly. Like how you brought that. It's more than
Bring
two nails long.
It is more than two nails long, yes. November 30th through December 3rd in Rosemont, Illinois, is the Midwest Fur Fest. Are you going to that this year? You're not going to that this year, are you?
I am not going to this year. But I guess on that note, the cons I'm going to this year, so for all you furs, if you care for whatever reason. Next year. Did I say this year? I meant next year. Right. I have no more cons this year, but next year I'll be at me and Barely will be at FC, and I guess before that is A&W. But
before that, you'll be at A&W, and before that, me and Rain will be.
So let me actually go in chronological. Okay, I'm going to start over and go in chronological orders for all you OCD furs that need to know. Actually, I know for all you OCD furs, it's not OCD; it's really CDO because the letters are in alphabetical order as they should be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I'll go in chronological order. So first I'll be with Rain, their own Rain Raccoon, who will be DJing also at A&W in Seattle. Then that next weekend I'll be with Barely in San Jose at Further Confusion. So I'm very excited about that. I actually applied for my panel, even though the hotels, like everything is open, but not the hotel. Like
not the room block
panels
yet.
Panels are open. I
know. It's very frustrating, or not frustrating, but anxious, anxiety-inducing. It's like...
Yes. Every time I see the next announcement, it's like, oh, is it that? Oh, no, it's DJ application. Oh, is it that? No, it's panel app. No, is it that? No, it's like we picked up the cheese from the grocery store. It's like, no, what we want the hotel.
Right. Right. Yeah. So a friend that's attending... He texted me today and he says, I got my room for FC. It's at the Hilton. And I was like, do they open up the room block? I panicked. I was like immediately on the website. It's like, did they open it up?
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, how did you get a room already? Well, he's on staff. They opened up the room block for staff.
Oh, shit.
Like,
he gave you a heart attack for like no reason. Does he know he did that?
Right. Oh. I told him that. I says, you gave me deep anxiety because I thought I missed the room block connection. Yes. So
I would be the same way. We are like mine. Mm-hmm. So if the room block ever opens, Barely and I will be at FC.
yes.
Then we'll be Barely, Rain, and I will be at Get Out the Float Seaside. In February, then March, me and my hubby are probably most likely going to Vancouver for the first time. So that's very exciting. The room block actually opens this next Sunday. So as of this recording anyway. So hopefully we'll go to that. That's exciting. I'm looking forward to that. That'll be cool. Haven't been. Then what's next? That's in March. Then assuming... the BLFC dates go back to normal, probably BLFC with Barely again. Rain might or not, I don't know if Rain will be there. Then definitely Furlandia, I'll be at Furlandia. Then what's...
This year too.
Oh, that's right, because of the science-y theme they have. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So you can give Barely a hug if you go to Furlandia?
Just because...
you haven't been, because really close to you.
It's really close to me. I haven't been. And because Ziggy's coming up from Chile.
Oh,
I
that's
want to
right.
see Ziggy.
I knew yeah. there was something. I knew there was something else. Yeah, Ziggy mm-hmm. from our staff. Shout out to Ziggy from our staff. He's coming up from Ziggy to go do Forlandia, Portland, Oregon. So that's exciting. So there'll be like a lot of BFFTers there. TikTok always goes. Jotaro goes. So that'll be fun and exciting. I don't know if I'm seeing the dance comp again, but I'm involved in the dance comp, I think, somehow. Oh, they're doing a Floor Wars this next year. It was just, Ooh. It was announced. So, well, they're thinking they are. I probably shouldn't say that, but we're thinking of having a Floor Wars, which means I might partake in that. And my only other con will be Denver. I went there for first time this last year, and that was amazing and great. So probably we're going to go again this next year. And that's like possibly up to 7 cons next year, which is crazy. So I don't know if I'm actually going to end up doing that. Anyway,
wow,
if
that's
I see
a lot
you,
of
any of you first there, it is. That would be the most I've done in 1 year. Pre-pandemic, several years in a row, I went to 6 cons. But 7 is just, I don't know. We'll see if it actually happens. Anyway, there it is.
Yeah, I'm considering next year going to MFF.
Oh, okay.
I might consider going to MFF next year if it falls the right time frame. You know, I really would like to go to not A&W, but the one in Pittsburgh, the big one.
AC.
I'd like to go to that, but it's always on the 4th of July weekend and I just can't.
Which is
not,
can't, yeah.
Yeah, I just can't. It's like
I've been once and it was good and great, and we walked cuz the convention center is so huge and spread out that we literally walked 29.5 miles just within the con that weekend. So we had exercise. But yep. I would like to go to AC again someday. I'd like to go to MFF someday because, as you know, I haven't been yet. So time will tell.
Do you have some math for us this week?
I do.
Okay. And what is your mathematics?
It's first a little lappy from my puppy dishy.
For our ASMR people.
That was a good little lappy. Yes, indeed. I realized I hadn't done some math history in quite a while.
Okay.
Cool. And so I would like to talk about a not very well-known but brilliant mathematician. His name was, and I always mispronounce his name. Let me try again. Try this time. His name is Srinivasa Ramanujan. And he was an Indian mathematician. He lived from 1887 to 1920. So he was only a little more than 32 years old when he died. But he was an amazing mathematician that a lot of people don't know about. So let me tell you a little bit about him so that you can know about him. He had actually almost no formal training in pure mathematics. He initially developed his own mathematical research in isolation because when he went to present his theories and things that he came up with to other mathematicians at the time, the stuff he did was just so unfamiliar and or not well presented that he was like shunned. Like mathematicians just didn't pay attention to him because it just didn't make any sense to them. So he did a lot of his research on his own in the beginning in isolation. He ended up making substantial contributions to different branches of math, such as analysis, number theory, especially number theory, infinite series, and continued fractions, including solutions to some mathematical problems that at the time were considered unsolvable. So he actually solved the unsolvable, which was just amazing. So how did he get discovered, you might wonder? Well, I am so glad you got asked if he was in isolation all the time. So in 1913, he began a postal correspondence with the English mathematician Godfrey Hardy. So this was the mathematician, no relation to Oliver Hardy, the comedian. And he was at the University of Cambridge in England. So Hardy recognized Ramanujan's work is extraordinary and arranged for him to actually travel out to Cambridge to meet him. So Hardy commented in notes about his meetings that Ramanujan had produced groundbreaking new theorems, including some that, in Hardy's words, defeated me completely. I had never seen anything in the least like them before. And also some recently proven, there were some proven things that other people had proved, but Ramanujan had some really highly advanced ways to prove things and do the same sorts of things. So it's amazing. So during his short life, Ramanujan independently compiled nearly 3,900 results, mostly equations and identities, and since then have all, except for like maybe 15, been proven to be actually correct. Very prolific mathematician. Many of these results were completely novel. That is, his original and highly unconventional techniques and results were just amazing and have opened up entire new areas of research that have inspired lots of future research in mathematicians, even to this day. So really amazing mathematician that not many people knew of, continuing on in his story on the research front. As of late 2012, anyway, so 10 years ago, researchers continued to discover that just mere comments that in his writing, like in the margins of his journal, that he would say simple properties or something, these things current day mathematicians would find just profound and amazing and just opened up new doors to research and everything. So, I mean, this is amazing. This is an amazing man that just, he was his inspiration and the way he saw things and numbers and things was just, to him, like second nature, but it's been inspired and just amazing to people of this day. It's amazing. He became one of the youngest, quote unquote, fellows of the Royal Society. So to tell you what this is, so the Royal Society is a society in London, mm-hmm. and an award granted, that is, you became a fellow of the Royal Society, was granted to individuals who have made, quote-unquote, substantial contribution to the improvement of natural knowledge, including mathematics, engineering science, and medical science. So just to give you an idea about the type of people and how, like, exclusive it is to be in this society, mm-hmm. the society includes people such as Isaac Newton, Albert Einstein, Winston Churchill, and Stephen Hawking. So this is a very high-tier elite group of people. And yes. This previously unknown mathematician who didn't live very long was included in this amazing group of people. Side note, interestingly enough, I found out that Elon Musk is also in this society. So you can't win them all, I guess.
Yes, yeah.
But... there it is. So his last letters to Hardy, which were written in January 1920, this was the year he died, show that he was still continuing to produce new mathematical ideas and theorems. So his quote-unquote lost notebook, which is now found, so he had this lost notebook in which he wrote lots of theorems and things, mm-hmm. That was not discovered until 1976, a little more than 50 years later. Mm-hmm. His quote-unquote lost notebook caused great excitement among mathematicians in these, you know, unknown things that he had written down. And so finally, 50 years later, mathematicians found it. It's like, holy cow, even now, 50 years after his death, he's still like inspiring all this new research in math. And it's amazing. Mm-hmm. So let me just say, I mean, I've talked about all these claiming he's done all these mathematical things. So let me tell you one thing he's done. So I've talked several times on the show in the math section about pi, you know, the irrational number pi. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, all of these great properties and we've talked about and everything like that. And there's lots of approximations to the number pi, like 22/7 is a relatively, it's not the greatest, but it's an approximation to pi. And there's all these great approximations to pi. Mm-hmm. Now, I've also talked on the show about infinite series, like you add up infinitely many numbers. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you get a finite number, sometimes you don't, sometimes you get infinity. And so I've talked about this on the show, you might remember barely. Mm-hmm. And all you first might know about these things or have heard me talk about before. So back to Ramanujan, he discovered a series, infinite series representation for the number 1 over pi. So not pi, but 1 over pi. But, so this is an equality. It's not just an approximation, but there's an infinite number of numbers that you can add up that give you exactly 1 over pi. So that's pretty cool, actually, and amazing that someone actually did this on their own. But let me tell you, this is crazy, this summation. So I won't tell you exactly what it is because you won't appreciate it until you see it. So we'll put on the website a picture of this actual summation so you can see. And so what's this crazy about it, among other things, is there's numbers in it, like literally just right there, there's the number 9,801. Like that's very specific. Mm-hmm. And the number 1,103 and the number 26,390. These are like specific numbers and 2 square roots of 2, specific numbers in this summation and factorials and stuff. And it all adds up to exactly 1 over pi. And this is just like amazing that this guy found this and it's been proven. And in fact, this, if any of you first know about the word converges, this series converges so quickly, meaning that you can approximate the value of pi, and has been since the 80s. You can approximate the number of pi very, very high precision using this summation. So it's not just like it's cute and interesting that he came up with this and stuff, but it's actually very, very, very useful. And so that's very, very cool. So Ramanujan was an extremely brilliant mathematician that not many people know about, but he was extremely brilliant, had lots of contributions, even to this day, to mathematics, literally thousands of interesting results that still intrigue and inspire mathematicians to this very day. And in fact, he has so many great results. I'll talk about some of the other great and interesting results of his in future episodes. So very interesting piece of history and of mathematics. And that's my math for the week.
And there you go. Awesome. Well, could you imagine where you would be in the math world if he had not died so early? You just wonder what he would have discovered.
I cannot even imagine.
Yes.
That is an issue. Yes. No, I completely agree. That this is so amazing in his short life. And even in his last months, he was putting out amazing new things. And yeah, wow, if he lived to be like 70 or 80 or whatever, like other mathematicians,
yeah,
we would probably, dare I say, be centuries
right
above where we are.
Above where we are today. Yeah, I mean, that would just be amazing. That'd be amazing.
Like, watch out, Elon Musk.
Yep. Well, before we close out the show, let's tell some jokes. We haven't really thrown a lot of jokes in here today.
There haven't been. We've been so serious this whole time.
So
oh my
serious
cow.
This whole time. I know.
Time
for a whole
for
hour,
Jesse
we've been
for
serious.
A walk.
Right. So do you have your jokey book?
I do have my jokey book right here. See, it's my jokey book.
Okay. All right. And we are on a new chapter now. You read a couple of from the new chapter with the...
That's
Lions
right,
and the
remember.
Unicorn,
yeah.
The unicorn lying chapter. So, yes.
Did you eat the last unicorn? Yes. So, all you first, my book is called The Ultimate Dad Joke Book, 501 Hilarious Jokes and Puns, written by Hugh Murmy. Ha ha. And I don't read this. I don't read these jokes ahead of time. I just go with the next page and read the next few jokes. So, if they're really bad, then blame Mr. Murmy.
Yes.
And Mr.
Yes.
Barely, where do your jokes come from?
Oh, I search them out. I try and find the worst. Well, not the worst, but I find them that, I mean, I read a lot of jokes before I pick the joke that I'm going to share on the show. So,
can definitely blame Barely for
you can definitely blame me, but I try to find ones that are cute and funny, like kind of like this one. When you die, what part dies last?
Your hair.
No, your pupils, because they die late.
Oh, they do. They do. Oh, yeah. No, that was mm-hmm. cute. That's okay. I'll give it to you. That, I will let that one go. That's good. That's fine. Speaking of things that you might not know,
mm-hmm.
did you know
the
first French fries were not even made in France?
I did know that, but yes. Mm-hmm. Where
so
were they made?
You probably knew that they were cooked in Greece.
Inconceivable!
Ah, yes.
yeah, that's true, mm-hmm. True mm-hmm. true that.
Yeah, so speaking of food, do you know what dessert golfers hate?
Probably something to do with Clubhouse, I guess.
No, they don't like cake because they don't like slices.
Oh, they don't. They don't. That's right. They don't. And they can't eat the whole thing. They can't eat the whole thing.
That's right. That's right.
So your next assignment, you first, is write in and let us know what you think about what Barely just said. And we'll go there. Oh my cow. I read it.
Okay.
And I'm okay. But I'll say it anyway. What do vegetarian zombies eat?
I don't know. What do vegetarian zombies eat?
Grains.
Oh, God. Okay.
So, all you furs, your next assignment is write in and let us know what you thought about that.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
Oh, my.
So, my mom asked me to send out a bunch of invitations to my brother's surprise birthday party.
Oh, yeah? Yeah.
And it was at that moment that I realized that he was the favorite twin.
So do that again. I'm having trouble here.
My mom asked me to send out invitation to my brother's surprise birthday party. It's a surprise birthday party. It was at that moment that I realized he was the favorite twin.
Oh. Oh, that sneaks up on you. That's okay. Uh-huh, you got to pay attention there. You got to be thinking.
Yeah,
you got to
pay attention. Got to be thinking.
Okay, that's good. I like that. Oh, the poor banana. The poor banana went to the doctor. And do you know why the poor banana had to go to the doctor?
Because he didn't have any appeal? No.
Well, he wasn't peeling well.
Oh, he wasn't peeling well. Yep. That's like that band, Tommy Banana and His Bunch, Music with Appeal. So I was going to make up a joke. I was going to make up a joke about the sport of boxing, but I just couldn't come up with a punchline.
Oh, Merry Punchmas indeed. It's boxing day here in the North Pole.
Yes.
Oh. What do you say?
Speaking
to
of Boxing
salad?
Day, wait. Speaking of Boxing Day, I didn't realize this. So in Canada, you know how here in America, the day after Thanksgiving is Black Friday, and everybody just charges the stores and gets all the things like that, right? So, well, Canadian Thanksgiving was last weekend. So from this recording, it was last weekend. Right. Okay. So clearly they don't have a Black Friday because their Thanksgiving is on a Sunday. So they don't have a Black Friday. Their version of Black Friday is actually Boxing Day in Canada. So the day after Christmas is when they rush the stores for all the bargains, which kind of is counterintuitive, but
it's a little bit like, let's have Christmas. Yay. Here's all these presents. It's too bad that it was $5,000 for this little Billy, but there you go. Look, the next day I can buy it for 2 cents.
Right.
Too bad it wasn't the day before Christmas.
Right. Yeah. Put a list of everything you're going to buy for them afterwards. Like, here you go. These are your Christmas presents tomorrow. Yes. So anyway,
Christmas presents tomorrow, eh?
Eh? Yes. All right. Go on with your next joke.
So what do you say to a salad that is freaking out? And I have not read the punchline. I didn't do that naughty thing where I accidentally read the punchline, so I have no idea what's going to happen.
Calm down your beets?
No, the thing to say to a salad that is freaking out is, please remain calm.
Okay.
Romaine
calm. Okay, I have one more joke because this whole section is like a broken pencil. It has no point.
There is no point. There really is no point.
Really is no point.
Point. Oh, my cow. So speaking of things that have no point, what happened to the girl that they interrogated for the stolen panini sandwich?
They grilled her.
They did. What is the most lonely kind of cheese?
Provolone.
What is orange and sounds like a parrot?
I don't know. What is orange and sounds like a parrot?
A carrot. Okay, I definitely do not care at all about that. So we're done.
Oh, my cow. You know, just like a good house guest, we don't want to overstay our welcome. We have come to the natural conclusion, our show for today, Tabin. Did you enjoy yourself today, Tabin?
I did. This has been a great one. I've had a good time. How about you, Barry?
It was a great show. I had a great time. I thank all our listeners out there.
I guess we have answered that question that we asked earlier in the show today about why do we keep doing this. It's because every now and then we have shows like this where we have a good time. Yay!
Yeah. Every once in a while we have those that are just like, bleh. But, you know, this was pretty good. Thanks to all our listeners out there. We know you have lots of pods to choose from, and we thank you for choosing our little podicle. That's what I'm going to call it from now on, our podicle. You can help support the show in any number of ways, and every little bit helps through Ko-fi, Patreon, Merch Perch at Redbubble, Bonfire, or Fourth Wall, and you have your own Fourth Wall now too. Or you can subscribe on Buzzsprout. So until next time, when we crawl into your ear holes, and before Tabin takes another 20 minutes to say goodbye, I say, Mubark, fluff, and stay furry. Tabin, take the mic out of your mouth and say goodbye to our listeners.
Hi. Yeah, we're starting the show now. Is that what we're doing? We're starting the show?
We're starting the show now, no. Yes. This was the cold open. 1 hour and 13 minutes is the cold opener.
Wow.
Yes.
That was a long Mirren opening.
Roll that music.
I have to say. Let's start. Okay. So, Burley, how are you doing this week? No, I have to say, we've had a great time. This has been great. I hope all you furs have had a good time. We've laughed, we've cried, we got seasick. We saw the inchworm. Furry or something, I don't even know, but there it is. And yes, I have a fourth wall. I'll have some merch. You can get some Tabin merch. You can, on my own fourth wall, you can, as Barely said, you can get some BFFT merch on all these places. So do that, because it's fun, and why not? And also, the reason to not is because you will fall down because your shoes aren't tied. That's why not.
Mm.
I've only taken about 3 minutes of my 20 minutes, so let's see, 17 more. No, just kidding. Don't hang up. All you listeners, I will say thank you. All you furs and all that. Can't wait to hug you tight with pawsies. And I'll just say, had a good time. Thank you Barely so much. Thank you all you furs on our staff. Thank you all you furs for listening. And until next time that we bark at you, moo bark fluff, stay furry, bark bark.
Barely Fur Casting is an Injured Nerve Studio production and is found on all major podcast platforms or can be heard directly at barelyfurcasting.com. The opinions expressed here are those of the hosts and their guests, and no commercial compensation was granted. The Furcast is produced, recorded, and directed by Barely Normal, aka Mike Began, and is edited by Barely and our associate editor Rain Raccoon. Opening and closing theme music, as well as some interstitial music, was created for Injured Nerves Productions for the use on the podcast by Reg Day with Damian Tanuki. If you would like to hear more music by Reg Day, you can search for Tweezerbeak on Bandcamp or Hoop Loop Tunes on SoundCloud. Other interstitial and background music by Shane Ivers through SilvermanSound.com, Gator Tots on SoundCloud.com, and the YouTube Free Is Library. If you would like to send us a message, you can do so via email at barelyfurcasting@gmail.com. or on our Telegram chat at BFFT Chat, on Twitter, on our Facebook page, or on the BarelyFurcasting.com webpage. You can help support the show through donations at ko-fi.com/BarelyFurcasting or through Patreon at patreon.com/BarelyFurcasting. Thanks for listening. We hope you come back and listen next week.